Hello, welcome back. I'm Charles Showalter. You're listening to the Union Edge Laborers Talk Radio. Thank you for tuning in. We appreciate you hanging out with us for the afternoon. That is so very much the case. We appreciate that. Listen, right now we are talking with David K. Johnson, who is an economics guru, so to speak, and Pulitzer Prize winner and reporter. David K., welcome back to Union Edge.
Well, glad to be here, Charles.
Always a pleasure. We appreciate it. And, you know, David, I'm just going to jump right into it. The TPP, I keep calling it the toilet paper project, but I'm sure there's some other names out there.
But, well, as somebody who's been writing about it for about 4 years, I'm glad that it is finally getting broad attention in the news media. Unfortunately, the focus of most of the news coverage is the official version of events. The official version of events is this is a good thing fundamentally, and without it we'll be in terrible trouble, ignoring things like how this will perhaps reduce your free speech rights. It will encourage further reductions in wages for American workers. Apparently, and I emphasize apparently because except for two chapters, the whole document is secret. It may even protect human trafficking in Malaysia, a bizarre position to be defended by the first black president of the United States if the provisions actually say what critics claim.
David, you know, one of the things that's troubling for me is, like you said, other than the two chapters, everything else is done. You know, it's behind a veil. Even elected officials, they can go read it, but they can't copy it. They can't take notes, so on and so forth. If it's that good, why aren't we bragging about it? Why aren't we showing it off to the public? It seems to me that the people that are saying, hey, this is going to be great for America, really are saying, hey, this is going to be great for corporations. And there's a difference between working people, America, and the corporations that I believe that this program is going to benefit.
Right. Well, it's important to keep in mind there are no significant barriers to trade anymore. You know, look at the global trade going on. Look at our trade with South Korea, with whom we signed an agreement a couple of years ago, with China, with other countries. So this isn't about removing trade barriers and tariffs. Tariffs are insignificant. There are a few here and there for various reasons. That's, you don't need 30,000 pages in just one of the chapters that was leaked, in 30,000 words, I'm sorry, in one of the chapters that was leaked to address trade barriers. This is about insulating certain corporate interests from the rigors of market competition and about labor arbitrage, that is, helping companies drive down the cost of labor. I'll give you a real good example of this. One of the biggest beneficiaries and lobbyists for this deal is Nike. Nike was founded by the former basketball reporter for the Portland, Oregonian newspaper. It pays workers in Malaysia and Vietnam between about 50 cents and a little less than a dollar an hour to make shoes that typically retail for, what, $100 or more in the United States? There's no way Americans can compete with these incredibly poor countries at that kind of wage rate. And that doesn't mean I'm callous and don't care about people around the world. I think we need to have a global perspective. But I think that we need to recognize that a lot of this is about driving down wages in the U.S. because, after all, the Republicans have made it pretty clear what they believe, Charles, is the major economic problem in America. I mean, they don't say it the way I'm going to say it, but if you listen to them, this is what they say. The rich don't have nearly enough. And we need government policies to get more for the rich, because then the rich will create jobs for everybody else. Well, that's just nonsense. And what we need is a broader economy with more prosperity, more jobs, and better paying jobs. And I don't see how the TPP can possibly help that, although it may make the other countries, the 11 other countries that are involved, better off. Certainly some of their corporations may be better off.
David, it's already made it past in the Senate. We've got a dogfight in the House coming up about this. Your suggestions on that, because I think a lot of people don't want to see this.
Well, you notice there was an initial vote in the Senate that went against it, and then there was a second vote, procedural vote, and that ended this. The fundamental issue here is fast-track track authority. That is, this is to be voted up or down without much time for debate and without examining each provision of it. I think that since the Republicans control the House, it's important to go to those Republicans who claim that they are for less government and less regulation and say, how can you be in favor of, you know, thousands of pages of new regulations that submit us to foreign law? That's one. And the way to do that is you get a bunch of friends, you go to any public session where your congressman shows up, you rehearse the questions you want to ask in advance, and they're short, focused questions. And when the congressperson tries to slip away from that question, somebody sitting elsewhere in the audience should pop up and say, wait a minute, you didn't answer that question, you know, and start mau-mauing them to respond to this. Because if you are a principled Republican who supposedly is against more government, I don't see how you can be in favor of this comprehensive deal, particularly without robust public debate. And then the second attack, I think, and it's the one more to focus on Democrats, is, you know, how can you vote for something you haven't even read? Now, of course, they never read the bills they vote on in Congress, but nonetheless, right. It's a question to ask and do the same thing. Show up at meetings, have several people sit in different places of the room, hit with very focused, rehearsed questions to force the issue.
Well, there you go. That sounds like a plan to me. David, if this goes through, I mean, just how devastating is it going to be for any manufacturing or even service-based industries here in the United States?
Well, we don't know. I mean, that's a big part of the problem is we don't know. Here's what we need to remember. President Obama signed the biggest trade deal in 19 years, our trade deal with South Korea. And you'll recall, Charles, I went to Seoul when I worked for Reuters to write about this in my column for them. And what the data show is that, indeed, our exports to Korea have gone up, just as President Obama said would happen. The problem is that South Korean exports to the U.S. have gone up 25 times as much. Yeah. These trade deals, the NAFTA deal in both Canada and Mexico, we turned small trade surpluses into big deficits. Our bilateral trade deal with China, we were told in the worst case scenario, would lead to a $1 billion a year trade deficit in goods. Well, the trade deficit is almost $1 billion a day. Clearly, these trade deals are not doing what we're told in the past. So why should we think this would be any different? The same group of lawyers and specialists in these trade deals who were involved in negotiating the past ones are negotiating these. The likely outcome is pressure to further lower wages, less manufacturing in the United States, and more paying of damages to foreign companies who assert that American job safety, health safety, and other laws and regulations damage their business interests, and therefore we have to pay them damages, even if they haven't suffered any, on a speculative basis. But we don't know, Charles. That's the real horror here is we don't know.
Any final words for us today, Dave?
At your peril, if you do not organize people and make noise about this, there's no reason to think that this will make us better off. And, you know, if the TPP, the Trans-Pacific Partnership, and the proposed Atlantic Agreement are good deals, then they will be made better by robust public debate. Secrecy is not the friend of democracy. It is not the friend of working people. It is not the friend of integrity. It is not the friend of sound economic policy. We need to have robust, open debate. And that includes not just confronting your politicians, but, you know, writing brief letters to the local newspaper, getting yourself on radio shows, including, you know, people from the right, and saying, raising these issues about how they don't fit with the supposed ideology of Republicans.
Absolutely. David, very quickly, your website.
Well, the best thing is my Twitter, because all of my columns and things are posted there, which is David C-A-Y-J. David C-A-Y-J. And everything I write, National Memo, Al Jazeera America, Newsweek, all gets posted there.
Fantastic. We appreciate it. We'll talk to you again soon. I'm Charles Showalter. You're listening to the Union Edge Laborist Talk Radio.